All right, we're going to start. Let's pray for the Holy Spirit to minister to us as we go to the Word. They may quicken it to our hearts. Father, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you that we can come together, and thank you for your presence with us. We just ask you, Lord, that as we go to the Word, Lord, that you give us the illumination, the understanding, the ability, Lord, not just to just see what it says, but to be able to put it to work in our life, to experience the things that you said we should experience in your word. We thank you and praise you for what you're going to do, Lord, and the way, Lord, you are going to guide us today by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So we've been looking at our relationship with God. This is really probably the most important thing in our experience, in our connection with God. Is that what makes the difference between dealing with the true God and all the other stuff that is nothing else but religion. Okay. But to do that, we had to think right about God. Is there where, you know, the problem comes, you know, all, you know, religion cannot get in touch with God. The only thing that they get is formality, following rules, and have the wrong image of God. It is, you know, Christianity is unique, not just because Jesus did what he did, but because the image of God is different than all the other religions. In all the other religions, what you can see is that you know, to approach God, they had to go there, okay, fearful, to try to appease God, their God, from being destroyed. And this is not Christianity. This is not the way God is that Jesus showed to us. You know, even in the Old Testament, okay, a few people understood the truth, but not many. Because when God tries to get to establish a relationship with the children of Israel, they were scared. They were terrified. And that's not the way he wants us to feel concerning him. He is the one that goes after us, rather than us going after him. He went after us even before we didn't care. So there is a complete different image that we should have about God, because that is a false image. God is love. That's what the New Testament emphasizes, you know, much more than ever. And because of his character, because of his, you know, the way he is, his nature, he's not just loving us, but he's approachable. We can have a real relationship with him. Okay? See, the way we think about God is critical. And in the Old Testament, in Psalm 18, you know, it shows us how important the way we see God is for us. And really, the way we see God often is reflecting the way we see ourselves. In Psalm 18, verse 25 says, "Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness." You know, and that doesn't mean, I mean, either righteousness or no righteousness, we get that kind of a treatment. Or at least that's what appears to us. Okay. It says, "According to the cleanness of my hand in his sight, with the merciful you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless you will show yourself blameless. With the pure you will show yourself pure. And with the devious you will show yourself shrewd." See, this is the way people see God, in a reflection on what they are themselves. This is the way it works. It says, "But you will save the humble people, but will bring down the haughty looks." So really, you see, this is, shows the importance for us to understand that it is not what looks like it, because of our feelings, because of our ideas, because of our thinking, that, you know, color the way we can see God. God doesn't change because we are in a certain way or another. He's always the same. And we to really know him, to know what he is like, to be able to connect with him, we had to go not according to the way we feel sometimes, or what anybody says, or what everybody says. We had to go by what the Word says, because the Word is the way God revealed himself to us. Are you with me yet? Okay. So this is so important. Okay, and the way, you know, we've been going through Psalm 103 that gives a reflection, even in the Old Testament, on the way God is. Okay, but that was not the way it was perceived by most of the people. That was a way it was perceived by some people that were under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And with the Holy Spirit, they got revelation of what the way God was so that they could express it there. But most of the people were going by big legalistic ways, trying to appease God instead of connecting with him and receiving his love. Are you still with me? We have to be careful, because today, people call themselves Christian do exactly the same thing. Instead of reaching out, instead of establishing that relationship, that close relationship, intimate relationship with him, you know, they are kind of hiding themselves, protecting themselves, feeling that they are not worthy to connect with him, when they can never be worthy, but was provided for you to become worthy to connect with him. Not through what you did, but what Jesus did. So you really are dependent on somebody else that did the whole work for you. This is the way God made it possible for us to connect with him. Okay. And so, see, we had to understand, okay, that we had to go according to the scriptures, not according to people's ideas, or even our own ideas. That we had to straighten up our thinking so that we think right, even before we feel right. Praise the Lord. See, lots of people, even today, even believers, go before God begging him to do something for them. You know, and that's not the way to approach God. God doesn't need to be begged. He acted before you even had the problem. He has done everything that needed to be done before you even were born. And it was all, everything is already settled with him. Has to be settled with you. See, the world is settled in heaven. We need to settle down here. And we settle down here by believing it. And by standing in it. And by taking a position. And God is faithful. This is, you know, what, that's one of the things that, you know, people really miss when they start begging God to do things for them. See, that's, you know, how pleasant, how encouraging is for God. What kind of reaction, okay, put yourself in God's place. That he has done everything that needed to be done for somebody. Okay? Put yourself in that place, and this person keeps begging you, please do that. Please, I need it. See, when he has done it already, the only thing we need to do is to really believe it so that we are putting ourselves in the position to receive it. And there are different phases on that process, but the point is, it is done. Jesus said, it is finished. Can we believe that it is finished? Can we say, it's finished?
It's finished.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's start from there. If you want to see it finished, you have to take it for finished. Because otherwise you're going to be there waiting forever. See, that's the way it works. That's the way, that's what God expects. You cannot beg God to get things that he has already done. Because that's not faith. And the only way to please him is by faith. That means believing that he is. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And diligently seek him means, you know, that they're listening to what he says. And they're acting accordingly. And they said, I have done it. It is finished. That's what we had to believe. And that's what we had to, the position that we had to have inside. Doesn't matter what's going on down here. Sometimes may be difficult. This is why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is there to empower us and to guide us in the process that we had to go through to get there. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18 says, but as God is faithful, can you say that God is faithful? What does it mean that he's faithful? That when he says something, he's going to do it. Because if he doesn't do what he said, he's unfaithful. So he has done, is faithful because, you know, the implication that he keeps repeating all the time that God is faithful means that he is dependable, means that we can expect him to do the things that he said he has done. But there are conditions that we had to meet. There are things that we had to align ourselves up with. Okay. Continue here. Okay. So, God is faithful. Our word to you was not yes or no, as some people preach. Oh, sometimes God says yes, sometimes no, sometimes God wait. Sorry. Is now. Is always now with God. It's not sometime. Now is really with us. We are stuck in time. He is not. So it's not yes or not, okay? Says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy and so on, and was not yes or no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him are amen, to the glory of God through us. This is the way God gets glorified. Because we receive the things that he has done for us, so that the glory of God may be manifested down here. And it's not that he's doing us a favor. The favor has done it already in the past and is finished by sending Jesus. What we had to do is to receive what he has done. That's what gives him glory. Through us. Because if we don't do it, we don't give him glory. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus made the declaration of his ministry, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty of the captive, and to recover the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that was this jubilee, you know, that was done every, you know, depending on the way you look at it, 6 years, 7 years, or 20, or 50 years, some people do it for 25 years, but doesn't make any difference. The point is, at that moment, the year of the Lord, the acceptable year of the Lord, was taking place. Now, year is the word year, is really not, you know, can be translated in many different ways. One way to be translated, the word is, for example, period, or the moment, or the season. All these things. Okay, so that's a really thing. And indicated this, you know, for the Old Testament was a cyclical event taking place every so many years. Okay, for the New Testament, it's not a cyclical event. It's a continuous event. It's always. Like I said before, it's not just a question of, you know, Thanksgiving once a year. You know, Thanksgiving is every day. The Jubilee for us is every day, because the only thing that will stop us from receiving is ourselves, and we have to go and take it. Praise the Lord. What Jesus has accomplished was not a physical thing. See, when in the Old Testament, understand the difference between the Old Testament sacrifices and Jesus' sacrifice. The Old Testament was just a type of what was going to go happening afterwards. Wasn't the real thing. And so that was done every year just to remind themselves. But what actually they were representing is what was going to come. And Jesus did it. And what he did was not the, you know, people look so much at the cross on the physical aspect. The cross was really not the critical part there. I don't care what anybody says. It was what Jesus did, the critical part. Which was a spiritual thing that he did. He took the sins of the world on himself. That's what he was sweating blood for at Gethsemane. Not to be sacrificed on the cross. Because many people were sacrificed on the cross exactly the same way. But what he did was eternal, not physical. And the eternal change that took place then was when the sins of the world came on him, and there was the power of it was broken. So does it need to be done anymore? That's a perfect sacrifice, complete and forever. And since it's done in the spiritual dimension, in the altar, in before God, in heaven, and not just on earth, it lasts forever because it's outside time. It's not limited to the time it took place. It happens all the time, and it happened even before. Because it's a spiritual reality that took place that day. On here, But in heaven was planned from the beginning and is always there. And is there today, just as fresh, the blood of Jesus, you know, the spiritual component of what he did is today as real as anything that happens in the physical, much more, because that ends. That never ends. I mean, the two covenants, the one that happened when Jesus was crucified, is completely different from the old one. We are talking about not just the order of magnitude. It's infinitely better than the old covenant. Because there's no end and no beginning. Praise the Lord. I mean, we have something to be excited about. Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, in Paul understood this very well. He had the complete revelation of that. That was a reality for him. Was something that he, you know, not only understood mentally and logically, but he also experienced spiritually. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, you know, when then, as workers together, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. See, people can receive, you know, the word there, receive, edekomai, is not to take, it's just, you know, accept the grace of God. Oh yes, you know, God is graceful. God has given me grace. You know, you can receive the God's grace in vain. What does it mean? Means that you agree with it mentally, but actually you don't receive it in reality, because in the spiritual dimension is not there yet and is not manifested. There is more than dekomai. There is more than mental agreement. There is more than just say, yes, thank you, Lord. We have to have an act of faith in us to go beyond the dekomai ability to agree with it mentally because you like it, because it sounds good, because it's wonderful and everything else. No, there is more there. We have to have faith to appropriate it and receive it, which is the receiving that means lambano, taking from us. And this is an act of faith that we have to do beside the fact of, oh yes, I like that and I agree with it. Oh, this is good. But there is no the manifestation of God's grace operating in us. Are you with me? So, for he says, verse 2, it is in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That applies to the Corinthians that evidently had the problem making that appropriation, and applies to us as well. Now is the time of salvation. So we, you know, that's, it means it's done. The only thing that needs to happen is for us to take. And we do that taking by faith. That means we have to settle ourselves to believe that it's done. And not go by the physical manifestation or the physical evidences, because if we go by the physical evidence and believe in them, then we don't believe in the spiritual reality that's already happened and was always done. Hallelujah. That's the way we receive the benefit. Okay? That's the way we receive salvation or all the benefits. You know? By how? that act of faith by trusting the Lord, not the evidences. Trusting the Lord with all our heart and leaning not in our own understanding. Our own understanding, the thing, you know, we go by the flesh, by the ideas that we get by looking at things in the physical, by our senses, which is our carnal mind. We had to go beyond that. Okay. Trust the Lord with all your heart. You know, there is a condition to trust the Lord with all your heart. You don't trust somebody, not you don't trust everybody. Do you? I hope not. I hope you don't. Because otherwise you're going to get taken. Jesus said, I trust no man. So, I mean, the point is, you know, the condition is that what is given in Psalm 91 that talks about the receiving healing and so on. You know, verse 14, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. See, what does it mean to, you know, has known my name? As the name of God has all the power, all the abilities, all the things. So, you know, when you know his name, you know who he is, what he's like. You know his character. When you know God's character, then the other things are immaterial because you know that he can do all things, that he is faithful, that he is good, that he is loving, that he loves you no matter what. Unconditionally. Even if you are a sinner, he loves you because he sent Jesus for you. He may not be able to bless you, but he loves you. He doesn't hate you. Hallelujah. See, we have to get to the place, you know, loving him, that means, you know, that we value him more than all the other things, all the physical things, all the other desires, all the other things are all secondary. Hallelujah. Okay. Really, you know, it's a question of deciding in our heart. You know, we believe with our heart the word. That's when, because to be able to love him, you have to believe the word. To be able to you have to see God the way he is. You have to have enough of the knowledge and the experience of God. And that may take a bit of time, some time to grow from knowing about him to experience him more and more as you take steps of faith in believing what he says. You see, as we take step of faith, we get the experience that, yes, he promised he's faithful. And he proves himself faithful over and over again so that we give more and more trust to what he does. And so we trust more in him than the world around us, than what we see, than what we judge in the world with our mind. So, more than our own understanding, we trust him, okay, with completely in us. With our heart, we believe into righteousness, which is really the right standing with God. The ability to receive from him. Okay, and with the mouth and with our action, we complete the work. You know, we start taking the position in the physical. See, we, to receive in the physical world, we need, first of all, to connect spiritually. And that happens in the heart. Then we have to move from their spiritual dimension to the physical dimension in which we line up even our body with the belief that we have. When we line up our body, to start with, you know, that's when the power from the spiritual dimension is going to be transferred through our heart to the physical dimension to empower to do the things or to manifest the things that God promised. Are you still with me? Okay, good. Today is the day of salvation. Let's say it together. I mean, let's take it. That's taking it, that's believing it, that taking that position. Doesn't matter what your blockage is, you know, you have to start pushing that blockage off the way through your faith. So let's just say together, today is the day of salvation. And I believe it with my heart. And I say it with my mouth. In Jesus' name. That's it. So that, you know, the point is, okay, you took that position. Don't move from there. You know, if you give up with inside, then that what you said counts for nothing. What you need to do is now that you said it, you spoke it, you keep that place inside and you keep speaking it. You keep believing it. You keep standing on that. That's when, according to how much conductivity you have in your heart, is going to come out the power of God and produce the result. The more you are, the more the pipe is bigger, the longer, the shorter it's going to take. Okay? And you do that by letting flow the river of life that is inside you as much as you can. All right. See, by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When we believe that He is, there is a rewarder of those who diligently seek us, you know, and really, faith is nothing else than making that decision. I believe what God said. And it's a decision that you make. He could not. See, it says faith is supernatural, you know. God could not reward you of something that He gave you. He rewards you of your faith because it's a decision you make. It's something that you decide to stick with. And He admires you for that because it shows that you trust Him more than everything else. Now, are you still with me? Okay, so you see the two things, you know, Dekomai accepting what the Word says and then taking that step of faith, you know, appropriating by faith, believing in your heart that this is, you know, and you just keep check on your heart. Okay. Now, when we don't receive, good. Okay. I mean, I'm not going to talk about when you are trying to help somebody else. Okay, there are differences there. So I'm not going to get into the detail of that. I'm talking about you yourself, okay, you want something from God, which is a promise of God that is, you know, okay to expect God to work. God has promised, that means has done it. God has promised, you know, what God promises are eternal, so it's done. But, you know, still people have problem receiving. Okay, so what are you going to do? Okay, well, let's start with what you shouldn't be doing. Okay, because that's the more natural thing. The natural man is going to do all the wrong thing. So the natural man is going to start, you know, saying, oh, God doesn't want to do it to me. Okay, so he's going to be blaming God. He's going to be sometimes even mad with God because it doesn't come true. Well, you're cutting all your chances to get anywhere. That's the worst things that you have to do. Okay, don't think that God doesn't want to do whatever you need to give you the promises that He gave. Don't even think it. Reject it, you know, to start with. Don't feel sorry for yourself because it takes too long. Because when you feel sorry for yourself, the attitude is such that you're not going to get it either. Okay. But the important thing, the most important one, don't give up. If you give up, you see, giving up is a spiritual position. You have to understand your attitude has a spiritual content. Your attitude comes from your heart, which is really the connection between your spirit and your soul. And it's determined by the way you judge things happening around you. So if you judge God doesn't do it, doesn't want to do it for me, you have the negative attitude toward God, and it's going to block your heart, becomes the gate in which the ability of God's power stop. Okay. This is why, in the Old Covenant, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. See, the understanding in your thinking and your logic, forget it. Go by what God says, okay? So, trusting God, means that you promise His promises, believe in His promises. Believe what He said. Believe what He said He would do, okay? When you don't trust God, you have one of those attitudes I explained before, okay? Well, in that case, what you are going to do is to try to find your own solution to the problem. And whatever is your own solution is not going to work because it's not what God says. Because you have the wrong attitude, you are going to do the wrong actions. You're going to look at the whole problem the wrong way. Okay? So, you see, that those verses, Proverbs 5 to 10, 3, 5 to 10, talks about, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your understanding, in all your way acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So that's, we start to have some indication. See, that's the way He's going to work. He's going to direct your path. You had to expect God to direct the things that you had to do, how to go there, how to get what He said, because He wants to give it to you, and He's going to, if you trust the Lord, and you depend on your own understanding, on your own analysis, on your own things, then you are going to be able to hear, and He's going to guide you into what you have to do. Okay. If you follow God's instructions that He's going to give you, then you are going to be okay. He's going to guide you step by step. But you have to be able to hear Him. Okay. Do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And then He shows all the blessing after. I'm not going to read them because we read them many times. Okay. Physical blessing, healing, financial blessing, business, anything. That's what salvation is all about. Everything. Okay. But then the part in, nobody quotes is what comes after, verse 11. Say, my son, do not despise the chastisement of the Lord, nor detest His correction. Now, you just start taking that and taking with the religious idea, the chastisement, God is punishing me. No. God is not doesn't need to punish anybody. God is not mad with anybody. He wants to correct you. He wants to direct you. How does He going to do it? You only will acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. He said it before, but says, do not despise what He said before, the process that He told you before, the chastisement, or His correction. You see, He has to correct the things that are wrong there, because to be able to get where you want to go, things have to be fair and straight according to His ways. So He cannot compromise on some things because He has to be also just. And you may not understand it because you may even not know it, but He does know and He has to deal accordingly. Okay? He Don't come out with your own solution. Don't come out with your own way. Okay. He is wants to direct you and correct you and help you along. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son whom he delights. So he's not, he, like the son, the father that does delighting in the son, is not going to be there. I mean, he's not that, doesn't say, as the father that is mad and upset with the son. Does it say that? No, that delights in the son. So he's going to try to help you along. He's going to guide you step by step. Are you still with me? Okay. See, that's what Luke 10, 11, 10 says. You know, everyone who seek, receive. Anyone who ask, you know, knock and so on, he shall receive everyone. Why? Because they are seeking God. They are not seeking the thing. They are seeking direction. You see, yeah, there is a need that is in your life, but you love God above everything else. And when you do that, automatically everything takes perspective, and God wants to help you, and that will give you the right, give you the right to ask, what do you want me to do? And if you are open and willing to listen, he is going to tell you exactly. Well, that means you have faith to believe that he's going to tell you exactly. Because if you don't have the faith to believe it, then you're not going to ask it even. You're going to find your own solution because you are in all those places of those attitudes that I explained before. They said, don't go that way. You still with me? Okay, so the idea here is to be able to get to the place in which we trust more God than anything else. And we value more God and his direction than even the things we need. Because that puts us in the position to hear. He is not going to remove or not give us the things we need. But we have to put ourselves in the position to receive it, to have the faith for that. And to have the faith for that, that's something that, to believe with the heart, we have to deal with the issue and the judgment in our, you know, in our heart, to be able to have faith. Okay. Continue here. Okay. So, and it says, you know, that scripture, Luke 11, 10, and the following, you know, ends up with Luke 11, 13. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you what? The Holy Spirit. See, that's the way he's going to guide you. That's the way he's going to direct you. That's the way he's going to communicate with you so that you know the things that you have to do. And you know, maybe there is something in your attitude, something or your belief, something or whatever, you know, and he is going to step by step guide you in the way so that you know exactly what to do. It's not, you know, the very moment when everything is out of the way, you got it. I said, well, do you really believe that? That's what the word says. It's very clear. It's all over the place. Old Testament, New Testament is always the same. God works the same way in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Just in the Old Testament, they didn't understand him. We should know better because Jesus came to show us the way God the Father is. Now, is this the only place? You know, if I will make up a story from one scripture, then you can say, well, you know, you're pushing it. The thing is, it's Old Testament, New Testament. I can show you two or three times in the Old Testament and two or four times in the New Testament that says the same thing. One already is here from Proverbs 3, 5 to what the verse there, the 12. Okay? So, the love of the Father for us. Okay? By the Holy Spirit guiding us. You know, in James, it says exactly the same thing. I mean, you know, James 1, 2. What does it say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials. I mean, you know, so what they're saying of trials is the same thing. I mean, you are banging against the wall and you can't get through it. And so there is a problem that you're dealing with. And says, go around complaining and feeling sorry for yourself. That's what it says. No, it says, count it all joy. I mean, is that the natural thing to do? Absolutely not. The thing is, we are not called to walk by the flesh. We are called to walk in the Spirit. That means, you know, we believe more of spiritual things than physical things, because otherwise we are stuck. You see, he's telling us not just to make it difficult for us, because that's the solution. What is nothing different than what I was reading before with Proverbs 3:5-12? Okay. It's saying the same thing, only in new terminology, with better understanding, expanding on it. Okay? My brother, count your joy when you fall into temptation. Okay, that's not natural. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see, the patience, and let patience have its perfect work. Well, you see, that's one of the things we should tell ourselves. Let patience do his work, his perfect work. Okay? So that the position you had to take. See, that's the step when we feel like, poor little me, what am I going to do? Forget it. You know, let patience. Patience means that, you know, endurance, you could call it, or, the fact that you are not affected by circumstances that are not the way you want them. Okay? So you say, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Amen. So, I mean, yet to understand, this is where God wants to bring you. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let's say that so that we remember. Perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That means we got everything we wanted. I mean, that's the thing. You see, you want to be, God wants you to get perfect and complete. He wants to complete you. He wants to fix you up. He wants to resolve your problem. And he wants to take you, give you to victory. But you know, he wants to guide you to get the victory, because with the flesh, you're not going to get. You're going to get the same result that the world gets. You cannot walk in the flesh and have supernatural results. To get supernatural result, you have to walk in the Spirit. That means in ways that are really not really fleshy at all. But that's where he's going to guide you. And he's going to guide you if you believe him more than the physical things, than what everybody says, than what your logic says, or whatever, because God knows better. Amen. And he loves you. And he's not going to make it any harder than needs to. Actually, he's going to try to make it as easy as possible. You know, the only way to make it harder is to go your way. So you don't want to go that way. Okay, you want the shortest path possible to get to the solution. And this is what God wants too. So if you listen, he's going to give you just exactly that. The most effective way to get victory. Now the flesh is going to react and make up fuss and scream and yell and everything else and give you a hard time. That's the way you have to take a position and say, shut up, and I'll tell you what to do. Now, And this is really, you know, then later on in verse 4, you know, let patience have his perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay? And if you lack wisdom, I mean, this is exactly the same thing. You know, I'm repeating myself, but, you know, if we don't repeat it all the time, we end up not doing it. Okay, if you know, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. What did I say? What I said before? You know, give it to God, and He's going to direct your path. So you see, the word always backs itself up, repeats itself in many different ways. So if you don't get one way, you get on the other. But really, when you have you see the same thing over and over and over again, it's not that you are making it up. This is what the word says, and that's where it says, and everywhere. So it says here, you know, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give it all liberally without reproach, and he will give it to him. And let him ask in faith, again, not doubting, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. Okay. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his way. See, it's exactly the same thing. Proverbs 3, 5 to 12, and James 1, 6, what is this? I started with 1. You know, James 1, 2 to 10, to 8. Okay, so that's really God's direction. Okay, now, the direction, God's direction is to go home. For now. But he's going to continue to give direction next week. Amen. Amen. Have you got anything today? I'm sorry, it takes longer than I want to. The point is, if I show, run through it, it doesn't stick. I want to show you that the word is consistent within itself. Doesn't matter where you go and pick it up, you always say the same thing, and we are going to see the same thing again and again until the whole thing is saying, has to be that way. And if there is any midget of doubt in the remain there, that's going to disappear. So let's close in prayer for today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we know, Lord, that your word is the direction, all the direction that we need, and we can always get it. It's there for us so that we may have victory. So we thank you and praise you for that. And we acknowledge, Lord, that we are going to go to the word to receive the things that we need instead of trying to go our own way. We thank you, Lord, that the whole thing is finished, and we consider it finished, Lord, even if in the physical we don't see it completed. It's going to be perfect as your word is perfect. And we just praise you and thank you for that and give you all the honor and the glory, Lord, to you. And, Lord, are going along with you, Lord, that you may be glorified in our experience and in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord.